God.
You know, the Yaakov Avinu personifies the notion of Emes, Titen Emes Yaakov, and yet, in Parshas Toldos, we have at least a couple instances where Yaakov Avinu seems to make certain statements, act in a certain way that isn't 100% Emes, which is a balance we find in Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. We know that Chasam Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, and yet the Gemara teaches us from no less than Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Motu L'Shavas and Ne'asholom, the Psukim in the exchange between Avram Avinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Sari Menu, Vaduni Zakein versus Vani Zakanti. So we see this balance not only by Yaakov Avinu, but Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. I'd like to discuss this evening a few instances in which we find that it is permissible to be Mishan Menei Hasholom, or to lie, or say less than a full truth, under certain circumstances where warranted. And we're going to work off this Sefer Titin Emes LeYaakov. Titin Emes LeYaakov is a work that discusses various instances in which it's permissible to lie. He has a count of 75 such cases. Rabbi Bleich points out that this Sefer really should be called Titin Sheker LeYaakov. We'll go through some of the situations that he discusses where lying or telling less than a full truth may be permissible. The bulk of this is in Perek Hei of the Sefer. We have 75 simanim that discuss instances where lying may be permissible. So if you take a look in the Das HaKenim Bali Tosfos, first sheet of the Mar Mekomos, the Pasuk says, Vayivez Esav Esabichora. Perish. Mikvar haya mevazosa, that Esav was already being mevazo the bechora, v'alkein locha yachem imenu, v'nimsa, v'sefer b'yuda chasid, mikana talamid, she'im yesh b'yad rasha sefer Torah o mitzvah cheres, if a rasha is holding onto a sefer Torah or another mitzvah object, demutar litzadik liramoso v'litlam imenu, that a tzadik is allowed to fool the rasha into relinquishing this mitzvah object. So it's not simply that Yaakov Avinu was suggesting a regular exchange with Esav. He knew full well that he was trying to trick him into giving him the Bechora, but it's permissible to do so because Esav, as a Rasha, was holding on to, so to speak, a Chesed Shel Mitzvah, or the situation of being in control of the Bechora, and you're allowed to be Merama, a Rasha, if you're a Tzaddik, in order to remove that Mitzvah from him. That's a pretty bold statement. So he points out, in Simon Vav, the Titin Emes LeYaakov, there's a slightly less bold, but nevertheless interesting statement that we find in the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Pesach. This is Aruch Chaim Simon Tav Pei Beis. Aruch Chaim Tav Pei Beis. The discussion here is what happens if two people are in jail, and it's Leil HaSeder, and there's only one kezayis, or less than two kezayisim of Masa. So either they can split it and no one will have a shear, or they can decide somehow who's going to get the shear, be Mekayim the Mitzvah, at the expense of the other person who won't be able to. So in the context of that discussion, the Shari Tshuva quotes a Sefer Igeres Shmuel al Megillas Rus. So it's in the bolded area about a third of the way down the long lines. V'chem Igeres Shmuel al Rus v'mashikasa Boaz l'goel v'yom kanoscha miyad Rus ha-mo'viyah. So when Boaz talks to the goel and says, well, when you acquire the estate, then you also require Rus Hamovia. Lefi, Shetzafa Bruach HaKodesh, She'asid Latzeis Mechalat Sahal Shal Shalos Malchus Beis David. So Boaz knew that Rus was going to be the matriarch of Malchus Beis David. Lekach Amr Hamovia, Kedei She'yema'ein Hu, V'kachena Hu, V'yizkele Shal Shalos Gedula Hahi. See, Dafka says, Rusa Moavia, to tip off Ploni Almoni, that you probably don't want to marry this woman because she's a Moavia, and we haven't really resolved the Shaila of Moavia Velo Moavia yet, so better stay away. And he had in mind that, well, he doesn't have the problem of Moavia Velo Moavia, and he's very willing to marry Rus so that he'll be able to have a hand in Malchus Beis David. The after us, Ramos Chavero, Lakachas es shalo, even though in general you're not allowed to fool someone else to take that which is his, zo bedavar shebimama, that's when it comes to regular financial matters. Aval b'mitzvos, Afshi Afshar Likach Miyad Hazocha. When it comes to mitzvahs, even though you're not allowed to take something away from someone who already was zocha in the mitzvah, you can go and kisa yamila v'chayot. Say, if someone already has a schus to do kisa yadam, that's the sugi of asaras zehuvim, so you can't take away a mitzvah that someone's already zocha in. Mikol mokom, kol shel zocha dayin, heim kedavra mufkar lakol. But here, the goel wasn't yet zocha. We're talking about the theoretical possibility of going ahead to perform chalitza or to take over the estate, or the whole Yerusha associated with Rus's family. V'chal adam nisavir l'hashlim es nafsho l'zakas mitzvahs. Everyone has his own prerogative to do what necessary to perform mitzvahs. V'zein yin Yaakov Avinu alav ha-shalom b'b'chora u'b'brachos l'fi shara v'yada sh'esav his makir l'aso sarah. He knew that Esav was on the wrong path. V'ud sarach l'zeh. And he had more of a need for the Bechor than Esav did. So therefore, he was allowed to engage in somewhat deceptive behavior in order to take the Bechor for himself. So Daz HaKenim goes a little bit further. Daz HaKenim was saying, even if the other person is already holding on to the Chafetz Chaim Mitzvah, you're allowed to take it away. So his perception, sorry, the Daz HaKenim says, even if the other person, the Rosh, is holding on to the Chafetz Chaim Mitzvah, he's already holding a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to take it away. The way this analysis of the Shaarei Tzion, the Shaarei Teshuvah has it, from the Igeres Shmuel Al Rus, is that here Esav didn't yet have the Bechor, it's still a Samba Davar Shalom Balolam, so where he doesn't yet have it is Ke'ilu Zochem and Hefker, then you're allowed to fool, or be Marama, or be somewhat deceptive when in your discussion with the Rosh, in order to be Zochah in the Mitzvah for your own use. The next issue he discusses in Sibin Hay is whether a person is allowed to make a false declaration or promise of paying someone for a mitzvah that that person needs to perform anyway. So if you look in Choshen Mishpat Simin Pei Aleph Se'if Aleph on the second page of the citation from Shulchan Aruch there, Misha Amr Lechosno Ha'ashir Tilmod Im Bincha, the person says to his rich father-in-law, learn with your son. The person says to his rich son-in-law, learn with your son, I mean my grandson. Vani Mishalim Lecha, and I'm going to pay you for learning with him. Pater, he doesn't have to pay him. Kevin de Lav Anihu, it's not that the father can't afford himself. Anyway, it's his responsibility, Talmud Torah, to teach his son. You can say, just kidding. Here, the person who promises that he's going to pay his son-in-law for learning with his own grandson doesn't have to do it if the son-in-law can afford it independently. He doesn't need the money because he's really engaging in his chiv of chinuch anyway, the son, and therefore you're not responsible to pay him. So apparently there's such a notion that you can fool someone into doing a mitzvah that he's mechuyav to do anyway by promising money that you're not going to pay. Now, it doesn't say in the Ramah that you could do the lechachila, but it says that if you did that, there's no tvi and bezdin against the father if the father refuses, the grandfather refuses to pay the son. You have something similar in Hilchas Chalitza, Simen Kuf Samach Tes Evin Ezer Se'if Dalid. Chalutza Mutes. So you have a Chalitza that's done under false pretenses. Chalitza Mutes. She'omer lo chalotz lo amenas she'titen lach masayimzus. So you say, the guy's reluctant, the yabim's reluctant to perform chalitza. They say to do chalitza, we'll give you $200. Ha chalitza kshera, afilu einana senes lo klom. Even if you don't end up paying, it's still a chalitza kshera. Even if you have a tanai kafel. V'af avisha chalitza kshera, afim lo titin lo mikabachim chayavis litin lo kishar skar sachir lasas malachton. You really should pay the money. Aval, im yesh taina sheina chafetza bo, nimne sheina hagin la, But under certain circumstances, where she doesn't want to marry him anyway, it's not that he has the option of Yibam Chalitza, so he chooses to do Chalitza over Yibam, but she would have just as well gone for Yibam. She doesn't care for Yibam. She can't stand the guy. So under such circumstances, if they fool him to doing Chalitza instead of Yibam, so then you don't have to pay anything. So that's another instance in which you see the possibility of fooling someone into promising them funds for performing a mitzvah you have to perform anyway, and not having to follow up on that promise. And you have something similar as well, Magen Avraham, Simen Taf Kuf Kaf Vav, the next page, Sif Katan Yud Beis, Taf Kuf Kaf Vav Sif Katan Yud Beis, where it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Sif Hey, HaChofer Kever Lameis B'yantav Sheni Mutter Lalit Al Sachar. So if you're digging a grave B'yantav Sheni, when under certain circumstances you're allowed to be Osek in Kfuras HaMeis, so you're allowed to ask to get paid for it. Better, you shouldn't get money for doing work on Yantiv, but if there's a possibility you won't find anyone else to do it, you're allowed to get paid. He quotes from the Yamsha Shlomo that if the guy doesn't want to do it for free, the Yamsha Shlomo says you're not allowed to pay him. If the guy wants to do it for free, so you promise him to pay him, then you don't pay him. Just like by Chalitza Mutes, where there's such a notion of promising someone to pay him to do a mitzvah he has to do anyway, and knowing Meirosh, you're not going to pay him, and apparently that is an acceptable.
Isn't this case different? Why does he have to do the mitzvah? Yeah. Other cases, the Chalitza, it's on.
Right, okay, that's Ara, unless it's some kind of Meis Mitzvah where everyone is obligated.
Right.
Or if the kfir has to be done, he's the only one who knows how to dig, so maybe that has a din of a mace mitzvah.
Right.
But correct.
But they should have specified.
Okay. Good. Okay, the next thing he discusses here, Simon Vav, is it allowed to lie in order to facilitate the performance of a mitzvah? So we have the famous story, the Gemara in Tanos Daf Chesem and Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, on the end of the short lines. Mahayu b'nei gunvi, eili b'nei kosei ksia. So there are these people who had this funny name, Amru, the fig cutters, Amru, Pam Achas, Gazer Malchus, Gzeira Yisrael, Shalai Yavu, Eitzim La Maracha, so there was a Gzeira that people weren't allowed to bring Eitzim for the Maracha, Vishalai Yavu, Bikurim, Lishalayim, Vashiva, Pruzdos, Aladrach, and they put guards on the roads into the city to check, Kederach, Shahoshav, Yeravim, Benavat, Shalai Yalu, Yisrael, Regal, Ma'osuk Sherin, Shbosador, Eviyu Sali, Bikurim, Vachipa, Mixios. So they brought the baskets of Bikurim, and they covered them with dried figs on the top. Vinatlum, Avali al Kisfeyan, Kevin Shigu, Eitzel, Pruzdo, Samuel Lam Lehechan, Atam Halkum, where are you going? Arbel Lassa, Shnei Iguli Dveler, Iguli Machteshis, are going to crush these dried figs. And then they would pass the guards and bring the Bikurim into Yerushalayim. So you see from the story, says the Tita Nevis Yaakov, that you're allowed to lie or be untruthful in order to facilitate the performance of a mitzvah. He quotes here a Tanchuma in Parshas Vayera in discussing the episode of the Akedah, how Avram Avinu was going to break the news to Sarah that he was going to perform the Akedah. So the Lashon of the Tanchuma is that Avram Avinu was telling Sarah, you know, we really haven't had the opportunity to properly be Mechanech Yitzchak yet. So, Hanar is a god of lo nechnach v'yesh malkam rachof mimena ma'at shesham mechanchem nesarim. I know of a good yeshiva some way down. So let me take Yitzchak Avinu to the yeshiva and we'll have proper chinuch there. So from this Lashon HaMedrash, it sounds like Avram Avinu outright lied to Sarah about what he was doing in order to spare her the anguish of what was going to happen. So maybe that's another reason, but he presents it in the context of Mutter L'Shaker for the purpose of a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Then he has here in Simon Yud Gimel, if you're sending a valuable package, including a Chesed Shel Mitzvah, let's say you're sending an Esrog in the mail, are you allowed to write on the box, glass? So he quotes, he says, the Esrog v'yashiv the Shaila, v'yashiv said mutter. He asked if you saw Yaakov Fisher, the Shaila, and he said it's mutter because you're not writing a lie. You're not saying this box contains glass. You're just writing glass. So glass is kind of non sequitur. And then he quotes the Toldos Aharon Rebbe, who wrote to him that when you write glass, you don't mean there's glass inside. You mean please be careful with this package the way you'd be careful about glass. Okay. Then he quotes Reb Chaim Kanievsky had a raya for this from the Gemara Yevam is Kuf Tes Vav. The Gemara there discusses a case where you find a chavis that says on a truma, and it's not really truma, and you wrote truma because you wanted people to be careful about what the contents are. So it sounds like there you wrote truma even though you knew it wasn't truma, and that's not inappropriate. He has here in Simon Kuf Dalid. Someone knocks on your door, and he wants to talk to the Baal HaBus, and the Baal HaBus doesn't have time to talk to him. So is one of the members of the house allowed to say that he's not home? He is home, but he doesn't want to talk. So because there's some Zalman, you're allowed to say, Eino Nimsa Babayis, because a person doesn't have to receive everybody who knocks on his door, and he doesn't have to tell him exactly what he's doing at that point. And if he's going to tell him the truth, that he's home but he doesn't want to see him, then he'll be offended. He might get angry. Even if he tells him he's busy, he may also be offended. So this is Bechlal, Mutter L'Shadis Nei HaShalom. So if the guy's going to be offended if he knows that you're home and you don't want to talk to him, then you can tell him that you're not home. He quotes, Rav Yashiv said the same thing. This is considered Mutter L'Shadis Nei HaShalom to say that you're not home. And he has a raya from a Maxis HaShekel in Simon Kuf Nun Vav and Arachai. The Maxis HaShekel, there quotes the Gemara in Bavin Siyah, the second parak, that there are three things a person is allowed to lie about. He's allowed to lie about Masechta, Puraya, Achsanya. You're allowed to lie about certain things where there would be a Masechta, maybe because of Vanava. You shouldn't, you don't want to show that you're bucking certain Masechtos. Ein Orech Mech Nesarech. You can lie about where your Achsanya is. So the Maxis HaShekel quotes that Gemara. And his interpretation of Masechta includes the following, based on a Perish HaMishnayis LaRambam, that if you're learning one Masechta, and you know that someone wants to ask you a Shaila that Masechta, so usually the din is that you're allowed to ask someone a Shaila Masechta that they're learning, you shouldn't ask someone a Shaila Masechta they're not learning. So if someone wants to ask you a Shaila Masechta, you are learning, but you don't have time to answer the Shaila. So are you allowed to say that I'm not holding that Masechta, so you won't have to answer the Shaila because you don't have time, even though you really are holding the Masechta? So Maxis HaShekel says that is Mutter, that's Bechlal, the Gemara of Mitzia, that you're allowed to lie about the Masechta. So you're holding the Masechta. You don't, it's not that you don't know the answer, but you don't have time to deal with the answer. So you tell the person, I'm not holding the Masechta, so he won't answer you. So he says it's the same kind of thing, that over here, just like over there, you are Mishana, so as not to call someone Sar, that you don't have time for him. So also, you're saying that he's not home, so you don't call someone Sar and saying that you don't have time for him. Then he quotes Rishon Zalman and said that he heard from a Gadol Echad that by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, the Malami Lahoil, when he would take a nap in the afternoon, he told his wife to tell people who came looking for him that he was preparing shir. Even though he wasn't preparing shir, he was taking a nap. But he didn't want people to know that he was taking a nap, and not everyone has to know what he's doing at every moment. And he's taking a nap because he'll be better rested to say better shir. So that's also Bechlal preparing shir. So that's the question of David Tzvi Hoffman. That's what Shlomo Zalman says, that you should avoid lying overtly in this case. So instead of saying that he's not home, say that he'll be home later. So if you say he's not home, that's a lie. If you say he'll be home later, it's true. He's home now, and he'll be home later. But then he says, it's pashut, that you shouldn't tell your son who's a katan to say he's not home. Because then you're being mechanech a katan to lie. Even though it's a case where it's mutter l'shas me'ashalom, but it's bad chinuch to educate your children that way, that they should lie even under certain circumstances where it may be mutter. There was once at Rav Lachman's house, and were learning, and someone called on the phone for one of his kids who was sleeping, and he said, lo nimsa. So I asked him afterwards, what's lo nimsa? He was sleeping. He said, he's in a different world. He's not lo nimsa. He's a different reality. Echa mishisha mamisa. In Siman Mem Ches, he discusses, are you allowed to lie in for educational purposes? It's part of the chinuch of your Talmidim. So you look in the last pages of the handout, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Siman Reish Mem Vav, Se'if Yud Beis. Ain Sholin is a Rafkisha, you kind of the base of Medish Miyad, Ash it is Yashiv Daito love, so give him a chance to settle in. The Ain Atam is Shol Kisha, you kind of Ash is Yashiv, the Tamil also has to settle in. The Ain Sholim Shnaim Ke'echad, the Ain Sholim is a Rab Minyan Acher, Elam Yosu in Yashim Oskim, Bokadesh Shalom Yiswaish, this is Shun Eskim in a different Masech, in a different Sugya. Yesh the Rav Lahatos Esa Tamidim Bishaylosev, so a Rebbe is allowed to and should fool his Talmidim through the questions that he asks them. Ubimasim shosel lefneim in his actions, kidei lechadadam in order to sharpen them, ukidei sheyeda imhem zochrim mashalomdim to test them if they remember. The ein tzarich lomer sheyesh lo rishus lishol l'sam minyan acher shein oskim bo kidei lezarzer. You're allowed to ask them things they don't know to show that they don't know them, and you're allowed to even fool them or mislead them or misinform them in a way that's going to be educational in order to sharpen their memories, minds, and responses. So he quotes here that there's a Rash HaMishnayis that pretty much says this in Olos Perek Tezayin, where there's an episode, the way the Rash explains the Mishnah, the Talmidim asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai a certain Shaila, and he answered in such a way that was clear that he was misleading them for the purpose of better educating them. So there is such a notion that a Rebbe is allowed to mislead or fool or give misinformation to Talmidim in order to further their education and their understanding of the sugyas. Let's go back a little bit. He has in Siman Yud Aleph, are you allowed to be Mishana in order to be Menachem someone to make them feel better? So there's a Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Vayelech, which is a fascinating Ramban in its own right. The Pasuk says, Lo uchal od laseisav lavo. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo uchal od laseisav lavo. What does Lo uchal mean? So Rashi understands Lo uchal mean, means any Rashai. I'm not permitted. I'm in full capacity physically, L'nas lecho, etc. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says otherwise. The Ramban understands Lo Uchal means I'm not physically capable. He was physically capable. So the Ramban says, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael, his intent was you shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't feel bad that I'm about to die. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But he says to them, I don't have the capacity anymore. I'm not physically able to continue, even though it wasn't true. But that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said to make them feel better. So he says, you see the same thing in the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Nun, the Gemara is a Maaser Rabbi Akiva and his wife, who were very poor. They only had a little bit of Tevin. Eliyahu Navi appears to them as a poor person and says, you have any Tevin that you could lend me? Explains the Ran that Eliyahu was coming to make them feel better, that there was someone worse off than they. They only had Tevin, and there's someone else that didn't even have Tevin. So Eliyahu Novi comes to make them feel better that it's not the worst of possible situations. So apparently Eliyahu Novi was lying, because he didn't really need Tevin, because he was Eliyahu Novi, in order to make them feel better. He says, and don't tell me that Eliyahu Novi wasn't alive, so Mesim Chafshim in a mitzvos, and therefore he wasn't bound by the regular Gedarim of Sheker, because you see from other instances where we treat Eliyahu Navi as a regular person, even if he's not a regular person. So you see from there that Mutar L'Shas Mei HaShalom includes situations where you're trying to be Menachem someone else to make them feel better, where there's a difficult situation that you could somewhat ameliorate. That may be in the sugya of Ketha Meraklin Lefnei Akala. So then some of the Rishonim explain that where a person buys faulty merchandise and he's not able to exchange it or to return it, so you're allowed to tell them that it's good merchandise to make them feel better, so they shouldn't be sad about their purchase. Okay, these are some of the instances. I think we spoke about six. He has another 69 or so. Titan Amos Liakov. They just came out with the new edition a few years ago. The library only had the old one, but I don't know where they added the new one. It's much bigger. Maybe they have footnotes. It's like this side. Did you get it?